You're listening to The Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
Hey, that's us.
Yay.
I do like that intro.
I do, too. I think we needed to use it sometime other than 6 a.m., though.
I don't understand.
Yeah,
it's perfect. Perfect. This is The Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tommy. With me is Jim.
It is.
It is what?
It is Jim.
Oh.
Yes, in fact.
Thank you for the clarification.
Just for clarification, yes.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure. 6:04 a.m. I don't know what the temperature is, because I don't know if I trust this forecast I'm seeing in here today.
But. Yeah. Give me about that long. And 61 degrees.
Cool. It's about right, then.
And it was a nice sleeping night.
Yeah. So. I slept very soundly right up to my alarm, which was nice. So.
Yeah. So I'm now looking at the weather since you forced me into it.
Yes, you're welcome.
You know what we did last night? It's going to be like that for pretty much the rest of the time. Starts getting a little bit warmer Saturday into Sunday. Things start to spool up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And of course, Midwest weather for systems.
If
it's warm, that means that it's probably going to rain. So
yes, there is that.
Yeah, so we're looking at once we get into Sunday night and beyond, some chance of showers and thunderstorms. So nothing like packing up a wet tent.
Yeah, looking out at the webcams right now, I would call that mostly cloudy.
Yeah, currently it is. We're looking for a mostly sunny day today.
That's good.
Highs of 74 degrees thereabouts.
Burn
north
off all
winds.
This nonsense. Yeah.
North winds 5 to 8 miles per hour, becoming east in the afternoon. So east, let me see here, an east wind. Yes, that means that we're going to get smoked for the air show.
What are we looking at?
You could look where
the
I'm
green
pointing.
Dots, the green dots back. Okay, let's pretend you don't just talking with animated with your hands from time to time.
Right. Sure. I'm but not yeah, telling no, the, like you, buddy. When I use my hands,
you're
actually
not
means
as bad
something.
As I am. Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. If you haven't seen the green dot cam, I heard they took this down, but apparently not.
I think it's different. That's a
no,
different
that's,
plane.
That's
it?
The same one I saw yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. So someone hung a plane from the green dot cam. So it looks like the worst like special effects movie from I don't know some spoof from the 80s, pretending that that's an airplane landing at Whitman. I don't know. That looked like a 727 maybe.
No, I think it's the Boeing 777 model
777,
that they had out there. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely hanging from the camera. So if you watch the green dot long enough, you'll see it.
Yes, you'll see
it. It's a lot of fun.
A special effects attempt. Special effects Boeing 777 trying to land.
Honestly, if we were into special effects, that's the way
it
would produce
how
that.
It would work.
Indeed. On the cheap.
But yeah, we are looking for some decent weather between now and then. Evening lows are going to be right around, we'll call it mid-60s until we get into Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get into the upper 60s for that, for lows. Highs, today 74, tomorrow 77, Friday 70, Friday 80, Saturday 82. You see where this is going?
Yep.
Yeah. None.
Just creeping.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to have boring weather forecasts, and I'm okay with that. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night and come in here and try and turn on National Weather Service. And
yeah, that would be great. I would love to stay in bed.
Do we have arrangements with our NOAA friends to come
I have
in
his
as
number.
Needed?
I have his number, gotcha. And we briefly discussed if... there's severe weather at a more reasonable hour anyway.
Yeah.
4:30, I was going to call him in, and I'm really glad I didn't because it all fizzled out.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But yeah. If you want to chime in this morning, 920-550-1210. Just text us right here in the studio. We got a couple things from yesterday to catch up on, like me, Tars, and Eugene. That was a joke from yesterday.
Eugene.
Also, that Oscar Mayer was founded in Chicago in the 1800s, but had its headquarters in Madison from 57 to 2015. So,
did
that
anybody
conversation
get
from yesterday.
Chop up that audio?
No, I don't think they did. That doesn't mean we couldn't make that happen. We got a long time.
We've got 2 hours.
Yeah,
we got 2 hours. And audio producers with things they can do.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Snowbirds. That's an interesting one. Snowbirds were the first ever. This is, don't quote me on this, folks. Snowbird. I'm just reading blindly. Snowbirds were the first ever military demo team at EA in 1976, plus appeared a few times in the 80s and last in 2016. They were scheduled again for 2020, but the pandemic canceled that. The pandemic canceled a lot of stuff.
Right. I do recall seeing them here in the 80s. It's going to be, I want to say it's going to be late 80s, if I recall.
Cool. And I was here for 2016, obviously, I thought very cool. I mean, mm-hmm. Some people want to poo-poo the Snowbirds, but they're awesome.
Definitely cool. They're flying old jets.
Yeah.
That's the complaint. And you know what? I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's... The new cool are always cool, but it's also nice to see, you know, them perform in a smaller aerobatic box, so I don't have to look, you know, 3 miles down the runway to see what they're doing.
Speaking about the aerobatic box, that is going to change.
Yes, it will.
So that means that...
stay behind the burn line. Yep. What is it? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think?
No, actually, I think it's Thursday through Sunday.
Thursday through Sunday?
Thursday through Saturday. I'll get more accurate details on that. But yeah, they're going to move the line back to the speaker mm-hmm. poles, if I recall correctly, to get the aerobatic box large enough to be able to have the Snowbirds do their actual full demonstration show.
So make sure you're watching for that when you go to sit out on the flight line.
And if you recall from some of our conference calls, Tommy, the other issue is that for the night show, they don't need that.
Yes.
So that means that when the air show is done and the aerobatic box closes,
the land rush begins.
It's going to be a land rush of people running to the front to try and nail down your spot for the night show.
While I appreciate that, folks, I will remind you, the show is in the air.
Yes.
You gain really much of nothing by getting 10 feet closer, 20 feet closer.
Yeah, yeah. The probably the biggest obstacle to seeing the stuff in the air mm-hmm. is the aircraft around you. So I found the wisest part.
Oh, when you're sitting up.
Yeah. Yeah. So sit in amidst small low-wing aircraft, mm-hmm. and you're going to have a great view, even if you're back.
Yep.
Trying to park yourself on the absolute front isn't always going to be the best plan.
Absolutely.
But, again, yeah, that aerobatic box needs to be larger for the Snowbirds, for sure. So things are going to be a little bit different, and there's inevitably going to be some grumpy people. So please be nice to the volunteers that are telling you to please move back.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I used to be one of those volunteers.
No, I thought for sure you can say grumpy people. Say
what's changed, I'm currently grumpy people. Yeah, exactly. I used to be the volunteer yelling at the grumpy people.
Gotcha.
I've advanced. I'm on a whole nother level now.
Yeah, let's hold it to that. We have a guest this morning, by the way.
Yes, I see. I
suppose we should acknowledge him.
Yes, this was my co-host from last year.
Yeah. He is handsome. I'm just going to say. He is a handsome gentleman.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I also ran into him at Land Rush this year. So.
Yeah.
He was pretty close to the front of the line, considering how long the line got on the day that the campground opened. So
yeah.
But, yeah. Fine-looking gentleman. Doesn't say much.
No. No, not until utterly needed. So Snowbirds yesterday.
Yes.
But last night we had the Italian, the Tricolori.
I'm sad. So I ran out knowing the Italians were flying over.
Yes.
And they did a flyby. They didn't do anything with smoke. And then I see a picture later where they absolutely blasted the red, white, and or red,
green white, smoke. Red.
Yeah,
got to get in the right order. Otherwise, yes. You're Polish.
Yeah, I know.
So
Polish is just red and white.
I thought Polish was the same thing, just reversed.
No,
that's okay. No. Different one.
No, Ireland is the same if you swap out the red, but
yeah, if you swap the red and green order.
Well, they're orange instead of green, white, and orange.
Gotcha. Anyway,
yeah, I missed the smoke. I saw the picture later. Thought it was very cool.
Yeah, their first pass was just them in white smoke.
Yeah.
And I got to say, more so than most of the other colored smoke things, when they do green, it is green, and when they say blood, it is blood red.
It was very colorful. And bright white.
Yeah, yeah. It was bright colored.
Very cool.
I was shocked at that as well.
Yeah. And then I've been here since 86. That's what Dick was telling us yesterday, which is crazy to think about.
I'm barely remembering that.
Nearly
it was there.
40 years.
Yeah, I was here then, but I don't ring. I think I remember it.
Nice.
How about that?
Yeah, I saw one of their crew walking when I was on my way to Comm Center yesterday, past Boeing Plaza.
Sure.
Someone in uniform walked by. It was very distinctly the Italian Air Force. When I was on my way to Comm Center yesterday, past Boeing. What's happening?
What? Who? What? No, that's me. Never mind me.
So,
nothing to see here. Move along.
I mean, if we're honest about it, that was me.
Yeah.
it's very disturbing. Anyway, while Jim figures out the technical details, we're going to take a break. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
It's annual radio professionals Jim and Tommy with the Morning Pre-Flight.
I had to mute my mic because I was going to swear.
Right here on EAA Radio.
Radio professionals indeed.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. Good morning to day three of AirVenture.
I had to think way too long about that. Yes, day three of AirVenture. Yes.
it's kind of hump day.
Kind of. It's kinda, I mean, tomorrow is.
Yeah, really more accurately, but yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we're into day three. This is the day if you want to catch firebirds, by the way.
Yes.
I was spending
Alan,
the morning.
Is it a date? We should go.
I was spending the morning, checking out the trailer.
Oh, the trailer. Oh, I forgot Tommy Lee Jones is in it, too.
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones. Oh, my God. A much younger looking Tommy Lee Jones.
Another one of my favorite actors.
Right.
My grandpa bought Tommy Lee Jones is like a number of different actors who... You don't get a character, you get Tommy Lee Jones every time.
Right.
Which sometimes works and often doesn't.
And I was actually watching the trailer trying to find what they use for the other
trying
aircraft.
To find a plot. Sorry, go ahead.
Couldn't quite locate that one. No, this was the movie that they... when they like really focused on the Apaches, because the Apaches mm-hmm. were kind of like the new, yep. the new biggest greatest thing.
Yep.
And that was the point of this. But unsurprisingly, the interceptor aircraft, the opposing aircraft, was I think it was like an OH-5 or something like that, which is giggleable to those of us in the helicopter realm. But you know, hey, it looks like something that isn't ours, but it in fact is.
Yep,
it's technically an MD-500. I think is
okay.
That's the civilian designation. The OH-5. But yeah, at least they didn't use the Bell 206, which is another one they like to make look mean. Sure.
Well, don't spoil too much of this 30-year-old movie. How old is this one?
Let me see. It's got to be 1990. It was released.
Yeah, 34.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty. Yep. And
Alan's motioning that's when he was born. So.
Nice. Sean Young is the...
That's who I was trying to think of yesterday. Sean Young. I said Sherilyn Fenn. That's way off. Sean Young. Yeah, that's just a stellar cast.
I mean, come on. It's got a 4.7 rating on the IMDb.
Out of what? 100?
10.
Oh, too. Yeah, I don't know. I just something, and I don't know that I've watched it since I walked out of it. But I just have low tolerance for bad movies. There's too many good movies.
I will also give House some props on the fact that yes, the flight scenes that aren't the them faking them being in the cockpit mm-hmm. portion, which is not laughable. Good.
Yes.
The flight scenes are doing really well here. The audience score was 35%, by the way, on Rotten Tomatoes.
Seems high.
however, the critic review was... Are you ready for this?
How much do they pay for this one? Go ahead.
Nine.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. 9. Amazing. That's a, that's really in good company, let me tell you.
So
too funny.
It's something. But again, the flight portion thereof was good. And again, this is where they're trying to show off the Apache helicopters, sure, and all the stuff it can do. And okay, cool. Which, by the way, there is an Apache helicopter sitting out here.
Then make a promo for the Apache helicopter, not pretend there's a story around this.
The critics' consensus from Rotten Tomatoes is, despite the talent on board, Firebirds is little more than a subpar military adventure sporting video game-like action.
Yeah.
Which, again, there. Outdated philosophy and uneven acting.
Yeah. That sounds
so what we're saying is, how about that night show?
I mean, you know, I'm not going to poo-poo anybody going to see it. I'm just not going to watch it.
Oh, although
I'm morbidly curious to see just how bad it was compared to my memory. So
I do that sometimes, and I've stopped going back to say, you know, hey, I remember seeing that in the movies, you know, in the movie theaters, and when I was in high school, and that was a great film.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Oh, you ruin it every time. Totally almost every time. It's
like, wow, that was actually terrible.
Yeah, there's so many movies I go back and go, wow, I had no taste back then.
Yeah, right? Back then, he says.
Oh, yeah, I know. Look at the company I choose to keep, right?
Exactly my point. Exactly. So, yes, that is indeed what we got going on for that. Let me see. Oh, of course, this darn Mac, man.
Yeah, Night Air Show, though.
Yeah. Speaking of Night Air Show, though, we got a surprising
preview.
Yeah, preview. Let's call it.
Yeah.
I don't know that that was, I'll say, intended.
Mm-hmm.
But cool.
I think Ricky got a good shot of it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
If you saw that on the social dumps or not, but
yeah. So last night, they were working out the drone light show.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on for a long time. You know, I think that we actually probably saw more last night that's going to be in the show, because it went on for, like, I swear it was half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That they were flexing and moving to stuff, and, you know, hey, look, here's a bird, and now the bird is flapping its wings, and, you know, that sort of stuff. That was
cool.
It was surprising. You know, we're sitting around camp, we're like, what's with the twinkly lights in the sky?
Yeah, and it very quickly, even through the trees, became clear that it was a drone show just based on the way the lights were moving.
Yeah.
That or alien invasion. Who am I to say? I didn't confirm.
Could go either way.
So, somebody chiming in. The socials today have many beautiful images from the Tuesday Air Show with dark clouds as background. Stunning. And I would agree. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And if that is indeed a preview of things to come, that's... it's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Almost 7 o'clock. Balloon inflation, theoretically. I'm happening down in the fun fly zone. Let's see here. Do we have that on the cams yet?
Nope, nothing yet.
Don't see it.
But you can check out the cams as well if you go to eaa.org/live.
Right.
They've got all their webcams. You should be able to catch that on the ultralight one if they do that this morning at 7.
They did have to cut the... whatever, family play
fest. Freaky Friday 2.
Yeah, whatever it was. I call it the night show at the Fun Fly Zone, whatever they want to title it, but whatever.
It kind of is.
Yeah, and but I absolutely love it. It's one of the things I have to do every year when I come down here.
Yeah, honestly, same. It's become one of the things that I go to at least once every year.
And they don't do it every night because, of course, we have the main night show and other things that sometimes get in the way. But the show last night got cut short because the ceiling
was too low.
And as they were flying along with one of the aircraft that was kind of preparing for that, you realize that they were flying above the scud level. And it was like, oh, wow.
Whoops.
Yeah, that's right, barely there. So basically they did the stall competition, and that was about it. Something that I had not contemplated much, the stall competition last night, almost everybody scratched
on
their landings, because the wind was such that, there was significant wind shear on the corner, which would be like the corner from base to final. And you would watch these guys coming in, and they would make that turn base to final, and just fall out of the sky, and then of course catch it,
sure,
and then try and hang it on the prop until they can hit the line, and the vast majority of them were missing it, but it was it was very predictable. They'd come around the corner and just get dropped.
Crazy.
So, but they were in these aircraft that could very much handle that. So, and again, I was watching the guy in the 170 doing the thing, thinking, I think I can
I could do that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got to find out a little bit more about what power he has in that aircraft to do some comparisons.
That would be cool.
It's a 170B that should theoretically have the same wing as my highly modified 172.
Sure.
And I've got, well, you know, modifications of the wing modifications and stall, you know, stall stuff. And
but you're not going to do that in a 172, are you?
I've thought, so there's like regional stall competitions. Yeah. I'm this close to entering a 172 in a stall competition just to prove a point.
I mean, you know this way better than I. I have not seen a trike.
Oh, they talked about that last night.
Because a 170 is a tail dragger, right? Like, if memory serves,
yep.
So, again, I go back to, how are you going to do that on a 172, which is a three-wheeled?
Yeah. You can absolutely do that. So, there was a couple of aircraft there that are indeed trikes. It's a slightly different...
Sure.
You know, slightly different technique used during the...
Also slightly bigger tires, too.
Yeah. He did have the tender tires on there. I don't know if my 606s will take it, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Especially on the landing side, because when they come down and land, they purposely just slam the thing into the ground to try and unload the wings and you know, tip it up so that you can use the wings as part of your slowing mechanism. You can't do that in a trike.
Yeah. That's a little different.
Off the ground, though, I think I can hold up a little bit.
This makes me grumpy. I can't remember these words this morning, but the stuff around the tires.
On the wheel pants?
Thank you. The wheel pants. Mm-hmm. You might want to take those off, too.
I probably should, because I need the extra drag. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got all the speed kits and stuff like that I can on that plane.
Yeah.
So, might need to do that. I don't know. I'm threatening to do it. There's a couple of people in the Minnesota area that have specifically come up to me and asked me if I can go do this just to prove a point to these people that think that they're cool doing it in their, you know, Super Cubs, a short takeoff and landing in a Super Cub, especially put a 150, 180 horse engine in it.
Yeah.
It's honestly not that difficult.
It doesn't weigh anything to begin with.
It doesn't weigh much. It's got tons of power. It's got a heavy, you know, wing, or heavy lifting wing, long wing. You know, it's built for exactly that moment. You know.
Yes. Purpose built.
Yeah.
Just like us for radio.
Exactly.
This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
Gracing you with their presence like it's Christmas in July.
I'm fat and bearded. I'm one step away from being Santa myself.
It's the Morning Pre-Flight with Tommy and Jim. Tommy and Jim.
It's Santa. I know him.
Okay, so what do you think about Code Red? Or not Code Red.
It's a delicious soda from the 90s.
From the 90s? They used to have it today.
Well, yeah. I mean,
You know what I'm talking about? The dang movie with they kidnap Santa.
Red
One.
No, that's mean the new one?
Yes.
Yeah, that one's called Red One.
Red One, yes.
I saw the trailer for it, and I was not particularly impressed. I don't know. I'm going to watch it. It's a Christmas movie. It's got J.K. Simmons in it. It's got The Rock in it, which I can go either way on Dwayne Johnson. Sometimes he's great in it, and sometimes he's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll watch it.
You know, it's got The Rock, Chris Evans, Lucy Liu, J.K. Simmons, yes.
I don't think it's going to be a Violent Night, which I thought was great.
Yeah. I'm not a, you know, Christmassy guy, which is that's the joke.
True. Yep.
And so every time they do something that is poking a little fun at Christmas, I have to go to it just because of that. So it's like, why did you want to go see this Christmas movie? It's because it's tearing it down.
I mean...
Red One.
Yeah. You say that, it's tearing it down, but almost all of them have, like, a happy ending.
Oh, no, they don't.
Like, even like, Bad Santa has a happy ending. So.
It has literal happy endings, but yes, that's a whole other topic.
Yes, it does. Well, all right, so there are some that don't.
Yeah.
So what have you seen that didn't have a happy ending? I saw one with Paul Rudd and Paul Giamatti.
Define
that
happy
was
ending,
very
okay.
much not happy.
Like, you know, Krampus. Do you call that a happy ending?
I did not watch that, so okay. I can't claim that.
So, yeah, maybe at the end they defeat the bad guy, but that doesn't mean
sure.
that it's
doesn't
still,
mean a whole bunch of people are dead.
It still doesn't mean that it's pro Christmas. I'm just saying. Okay.
I mean, could be. Morning, Jay.
Good morning.
Welcome to Movie Reviews with Tommy and Jim.
I thought it was just another Christmas episode.
Yes. It's a very special Christmas episode of Morning Pre-Flight. With our special guest, Jay. He also does news.
I also do
news.
He does news. Speaking of,
yeah,
coming out of Janesville this morning, Janesville, Wisconsin, voters in Janesville will seek 2 tax hikes on their ballot come November. The city school district yesterday okayed a $150 million referendum in question. The money is earmarked for school safety and upgrades at the Janesville school buildings. The other question would add 2 more years to a referendum that had passed back in 2020. That question would keep a $14 million tax increase until 2027. Janesville is not alone in going to voters for their schools this fall. So far, over 50 other school districts in the state are also asking voters to raise their taxes on the November ballot.
I have opinions.
I mean, the reality is the schools do need money.
About 75% of the time, those referendums are there for a good reason.
Yeah.
And need to be done. The problem is that every now and then there's the 25% that are a bit extravagant and unnecessary. And those are the ones that people like to point to and like,
yes.
But do you really need to do this? Or can't you cut somewhere else and do that and whatever? And
sure.
But the reality is that it's typically they're not going to go to the taxpayers for a referendum yep. unless absolutely necessary.
And to that point, a new report says public schools in Wisconsin are spending more per student than just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty yesterday said the latest numbers from Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction show when adjusted for inflation, public schools are spending nearly $1,000 more per student than a decade ago. The group says the numbers pop the myth that somehow Wisconsin's underfunding its classrooms. DPI's numbers show schools are spending less than they were during the height of the coronavirus when Wisconsin had billions of extra dollars to spend. The latest yep. report shows Wisconsin schools are spending an average of just under $18,000 per student.
I've never seen, or I shouldn't say never, I don't recall seeing the like cost per student breakdown on some of these things. But
I mean, it's an important part of what Governor Evers has been pushing because Governor Evers was a teacher and a principal and that was his background. So
I know that there is a direct link on the amount spent per student to, test scores and success rates, and graduation rates, and things like that.
I'm sure.
I mean, it's a pretty straight line. So if you don't want the next generation to be idiots, you better spend money on them today.
Yes, yes, and then you can spend less on other things like prisons and whatnot.
Yeah, so, exactly.
I mean, ultimately, that's
and there's,
you can
there's
follow the line all the way through.
A direct
that,
link so. All the way through. So
says the academic at the end of the table.
that
who's married to the academic.
my wife is a teacher. I am a college professor.
Yes,
and
full disclosure.
And yes, my terminal degree is in education. So, yes.
Wait, is that? I'm going to be the uneducated fool at the table. A terminal degree?
That's what it's called.
So sounds very final.
So PhD so like is a terminal degree.
That's
you can't get any higher than that.
Gotcha.
Is a PhD. For me, it's an EDD.
Yep.
For Doctor of Education.
They make pills for that.
Thank you. and also, you can't have a master's that is a terminal degree. So an MFA is a terminal degree.
Yep.
A JD, Juris Doctor, that's a terminal degree.
That makes sense.
All right, this has been Education with Jim Gray.
I learned something. The more you know.
Speaking of jurors' doctorates, in Green Bay, there are questions answered about a large drug case in Brown County. A judge yesterday sealed the case files for 3 defendants. James Granberry, Ebony Granberry, and Sherry Austin will be back in court next month, but the specifics of why they are there and in jail will remain a secret. Investigators say the three are part of a much larger drug ring that ran drugs, including fentanyl, from Chicago to northeast Wisconsin. There are other suspects involved in the case as well. Authorities say they are keeping some things secret for now, but they are confident they dismantled the drug ring.
I'll tell you what.
Jim's grumpy. He's trying to figure out how he's going to get his fix now.
Dang it. For those of us in central Minnesota, I will tell you that we can trace so much, like well over half of all of the drug trafficking and things. Where did this stuff come from? It's all Chicago.
I mean, that kind of stands to reason in the Midwest. It's all going to funnel through the largest city.
Jumps over top
city.
Of Minneapolis. Yeah. Minneapolis doesn't have... It doesn't even scratch the surface. All of it is piped up directly from Chicago.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
I have no doubt. I mean, if you look at the cities that had organized crime at different times, then that's where the drug rings come out of, because it's still somewhat organized.
Well, it's still also just a huge transportation hub, like in general, outside of
everything
for legal
in the upper
goods.
Midwest is going to come through Chicago. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So why wouldn't you channel it through the third largest city in the country?
If Al Capone was around today, he'd be slinging meth.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Whatever's going to make the profits. So,
right.
Coming out of Eau Claire, there's a warning about dengue fever in Eau Claire. The City Council Health Department issued the warning yesterday. Public health managers say 12 people in the area have come down with dengue fever since the beginning of the year. Dengue fever is spread by mosquitoes, and the mosquitoes in Wisconsin do not carry it. All 12 of the people who have been sick with dengue fever came from areas in the tropics where dengue fever is common. There's no worry about the fever spreading in Eau Claire. People cannot give dengue fever to other people.
I really thought you said Ben Gay the first time.
Have either of you had dengue fever?
No.
One of my previous jobs posted me in a tropical area, and I am fairly confident I had it. Okay. Due to the political nature of the job that I had at the time and where I was, the doctors there said I did not. And I think that was just a lie because it like locks up your joints. Like it hurts to move. You're just achy all the time. Like it's not like super painful. There are other symptoms, but that is one of the common symptoms. Yeah. You just feel like you're the tin man that needs
the medicine. How long did that last?
It was probably a couple days for the most of it, but I felt the effects of it for probably about a week, off and on.
So we had Listeria earlier in the week, and now we have dengue fever.
And plague we got here. But too close.
Can you tell me when the locusts are arriving?
No, but I can say that Tommy will appreciate this one. The live-action Halo series on Paramount Plus is being canceled after two seasons.
Let's have a round of applause, folks. It was awful.
Based on the popular Xbox video game series, the show debuted in 2022, running for 17 episodes. Variety is reporting that the series will be shopped to other platforms for a potential third season.
like Tubi, or I don't know. What's the bottom of the barrel? Has Walmart got a streaming service yet? Because that's where it's going.
So much material to work with.
I mean, come on. And they ruined all of the lore that the games were out with. Just trashed it.
They literally... Okay, so here's my hill. They literally said at the beginning of the series that this is an alternate timeline situation.
Sure.
That it's based off the source material, but the main storyline is going to be a completely different than the established canon of the show.
You can't do that first run. That's what you do after a successful first run that follows the story.
Might have helped, yes.
Yeah.
Plus, all you did was alienate the vast majority of the fans.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with this. Like, there's so many problems with the story, but not the least of which is, let's compare two shows here for a minute. And you've heard me do this before. Mm-hmm. The Mandalorian and Halo. Okay. If you know anything about Halo, Master Chief has never taken off his helmet to expose his face that you've seen anyway. Mm-hmm. We know he's taken off his helmet. We've seen him do that. It always pans away. Pablo Schreiber couldn't get through one freaking episode, and all of a sudden the helmet's off. It barely ever went back on. I'm surprised he just didn't run into battle with it without it on the whole time. And I'm going to argue here that Pedro Pascal is a lot more handsome man, and he kept that helmet on a lot longer. A lot longer.
Yeah.
And barely had it off.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just one sticking point. There's a lot.
Well, I think the helmet thing goes with... the angle they were trying to go, which was a little more of a humanized, like, super soldier. Like, they created these super soldiers, and, you know, they had that whole story
about,
like...
I don't need to see your face, you're human.
A more direct comparison, Fallout.
I haven't watched it, full disclosure. I haven't seen it yet.
The Fallout series, it didn't exactly follow everything from every game. In fact, it was more of like a combination of the things from the miscellaneous games. But it didn't disagree with any of the lore. It didn't, you know, and it was, I think, better done. And it was successful. So why not do that?
Or go the straight translation route, like between media, and go the Last of Us route, where it's nearly identical. The main storyline is identical, and add on all these threads for the people that know the story. And there's a reason for people that know it backwards and forwards to watch again. So,
a fair point.
I don't know. I thought it was a very poor translation. I thought they made some missteps. I mean, there's literal missing special effects on guns in the first episode. Do you know this?
I did. I missed it.
There's a scene where somebody's running with a gun, and it's literally just like a cardboard thing that they were obviously supposed to skin with special effects after that. Like, what they did looked great. But somebody in quality control missed it.
Nice.
Just completely goofed. All right. Thank you, Jay. We'll be back with more news. This is the Morning Preflight on EA Radio.
Wake up with your aviation experts, Tommy and Jim.
Oh, there's some planes flying over. I'm sure the mics are picking that up. What was that?
Big round something.
It's the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
Speaking of big round something, I'm back.
Hey, me too.
Yes. So, Jay.
Yes.
More news?
More news.
Now that we've got our you know, geeking off out of the way.
Not sure I would have said it that way, but
I was just going to breeze past it. In San Antonio, Texas, a scam artist nicknamed the Gucci Goddess will be spending the next 15 years in federal prison. Janet Mello is a former civilian contractor at the Army's Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio. She was caught running a shell company that received grants from the military's 4-H program, which partners with clubs to help military families.
That's crummy.
In reality, Mello pocketed more than $100 million. She bought fancy purses, sports cars, and dozens of properties, all which are being seized by the IRS.
Wow. $100 million for 4-H?
Yep.
Nice. You go, Gucci Goddess.
Yeah.
Not much anymore. Much like Icarus. Coming out of D.C., Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will deliver an address to Congress today with a few notable absences. Vice President Kamala Harris will not preside over Netanyahu's address to Congress, as vice presidents typically do. Instead, she'll travel to Indianapolis for an event scheduled before launching her presidential campaign. Republicans seized the opportunity to slam Harris for missing the event, accusing her of boycotting the speech. Harris, however, is set to hold a separate meeting with Netanyahu.
There you go. It's not easy early in the morning.
Did the first two great. Not so much on the last one.
You did the first two okay.
Okay, well. Yellowstone, coming out of Wyoming, Yellowstone National Park. The hydrothermal explosion at Yellowstone National Park sent tourists running on Tuesday. It happened at the Biscuit Basin Geyser. A column of hot water, mud, and rock shot out of the ground. Tourists on a nearby walkway ran for safety. There were no reports of injuries, however. The boardwalk was damaged. Biscuit Basin is temporarily closed. The Grand Loop remains open. Yellowstone National Park geologists are investigating.
I saw a video of that.
I did as well.
Dang.
Yeah.
I did not.
It was you would have thought that not by, like, there was no shockwave or anything, but, like, debris and stuff shooting up. You would have thought they dropped a heavy, heavy bomb.
Yeah. Wow. It was big, and everybody's screaming, run!
Yeah. Like I said, there wasn't, like, the concussive and like, violent damage, but that was how much debris and stuff was in the air.
Yeah. It was intense. And, you know, my wife, the geologist, and of course, you know, the doomsayers, you know, it's the sign.
Well, I mean, we had listeria, we had dengue fever, and we had the plague, and now, you know, the earth is exploding under us.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, the locusts are coming, Chip, you're right.
Fair.
I mean, this year, aren't they?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, who knows? Maybe they meant cicadas when they said locusts. So, in which case, we're done.
Okay. Coming out of D.C. again, Francis Ford Coppola, Bonnie Raitt.
Coppola,
thank you. Bonnie Raitt and the Grateful Dead are among this year's honorees at the JFK Center's honors. The 47th annual Kennedy Center event will take place in December, and the sitting president traditionally attends. Other honorees will include jazz musician Arturo Sandoval.
Speaking of Francis Ford, have you seen the preview for his new movie?
No. What movie?
Is it Metropolis? I'll have to look it up.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, it looks weird.
So when they do the Kennedy Center Honors, one of the things because there's always a musician or two that's in that group, they usually will do pull together some super group of combination of very accomplished artists to do covers of that person's work. I'm interested and can't wait to see what they're going to do with Bonnie Raitt's material, because you know she's got a huge backlog of good quality music, and what are they going to do there? I mean, Hart's cover of Led Zeppelin is like iconic. Mm-hmm. You had Prince and Tom Petty got together to do. I'm trying to remember which one it was. I mean, there's some amazing things that come out of that event, music wise. So.
Megalopolis. Yes. Okay. It's like a modern-day fable type telling kind of how it's written. It's, yeah. Watch it later. That's your homework for today.
Okay. Thanks, boss.
Yep.
Also coming out of D.C., sales of previously owned homes fell in June to its slowest pace since December. According to the National Association of Realtors, sales dropped 5.4% compared with May. The group's chief economist says the figures indicate a slow shift from a seller's market to a buyer's market.
Yes.
Rising inventory and high mortgage rates are key factors. The median price of a home sold in June was just under $427,000.
Sweet. Ours was under the median. I'm excited for it because eventually that means rates will likely fall.
Yeah.
And then I can refinance because ours is horrible.
Yeah. I hit the sweet spot.
I'm sure you did. Pat St. John, a couple of people that bought around that same
time. I hit the bottom of the rate market, and I hit the bottom of the price on everything. Yeah.
Not us.
I've thought about refinancing to get out from under the required insurance and stuff.
Yeah. PMI.
I'd thought about that a few times. I'm like, I will pay more in interest if I do that than I'm paying for the PMI, so I'll just pay it.
Our rates are high enough to where if there's a significant drop, we will definitely be out from under a lot. So
that's good.
We did not buy at the sweet spot. We bought at the crap spot.
Right.
Got a house for under asking, which was amazing in that market. But are paying, you know, in interest rates. But the whole thought was, you know, we can always refinance. We can't change the initial price of our house. So,
somebody that we both know, Dan.
Yeah.
Sold his house in Madison.
He must have got just before it started to tank, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. And
I'm sure he made a fortune.
Absolutely.
Good for him.
Put it on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And the first day that it was on the market, the offer was this. It was $30,000. The written offer was $30,000 more than your current highest offer.
Yeah, I believe it.
that's how the written offer went.
That's how it was. Madison in particular, for those of you that don't know Madison, Wisconsin, housing boom. There are so many apartments going up everywhere in that town. And the rates are going through the roof. Jay, you know, you live in the area anyway. We both live now in a suburb just outside of Madison, and the prices are terrible. But, yeah, it's an interesting market, that's for sure.
Yeah.
A new study shows artificial intelligence is identifying cancer with more accuracy than doctors.
That's good, because they can't make image generation worth a damn yet.
Research done by UCLA shows an AI tool identified prostate cancer with 84% accuracy, compared to 67% accuracy for cases detected by physicians.
I don't know if I want AI digging around in there. I don't know that I want anybody digging around there, but, you know.
The software called Unfold AI, made by Avenda Health in California, uses an AI algorithm to visualize the likelihood of cancer based on certain data. Experts say that AI could lead to more accurate diagnosis and more targeted treatments.
That's cool. I mean, there's a good use for it.
Agreed. But don't type it in and expect like a WebMD thing response at the moment. Just
careful when you search for that. Yep, yeah, got it. Mm-hmm. Understood.
Also moving on, we talked yesterday about In-N-Out Burger and the other chain that I don't remember the name of anymore. McDonald's will extend its $5 value meal in most markets.
Wow.
Company officials announced the move in a memo to its U.S. business unit, saying the deal is helping to boost sales. According to CNBC, the fast food giant plans to extend the promotion through August at most locations. The offer includes a McChicken or a McDouble, four-piece chicken nuggets, fries, and a drink for $5.
I don't hate McDonald's, but I also go to McDonald's going, I'm not getting a burger and fries, I'm getting McDonald's. It's a different sort of flavor, but it's also very nostalgic because I remember growing up and eating that.
I also don't hate it, but it's never like, let's go to McDonald's. Yeah. It's like, I need to grab something. There's a McDonald's. All right, let's go to McDonald's.
Yeah, that'll work, you know? I guess. Yeah. Usually when I'm on the road is when it's happening.
But I mean, I'm absolutely not hating on it. It's not a destination.
No, that it is not. That is not. But they expanded the $5 menu. So
they did.
Well, yeah. There you go.
Tune in to news tomorrow. We'll be talking about sharks and cocaine.
That sounds awesome.
I've seen cocaine bear. Is cocaine shark even better?
We'll find out tomorrow.
All right.
Sounds amazing.
Thanks, Jay.
Sounds like, you know, the end of like Scarface 2. Not a thing. I'm just saying. Right. Oh, goodness. Thanks, Jay. Up next is probably going to be weather with Pat St. John. I got a message saying, don't worry, I'm up and on my way, but that wasn't long ago. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
EAA Radio's Patrick St. John is a meteorology enthusiast. Remember to personally evaluate the weather or obtain a weather briefing from Flight Service before you go flying.
Everybody sunshine, lollipops and rainbows, everything that's wonderful.
Woo.
So much dancing happening at the end of the table. And I feel like Alan just cut it short. Oh, it just pots down like that? That's
nice.
Right as you're getting into it.
It's still in my head. Don't worry.
Good morning, Pat St. John.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Not bad.
You looked at me for confirmation I had the answer
for you. How am I doing today, Jay?
How is he doing today, Jay? How would you say?
I'd give him a 6 out of 10 by the looks of it.
For this early, that's not bad.
Hold on, let me button up one little bit more for you.
4 of 10.
tidy up.
Oops. All right, hold on. Anyways, the weather is very weathery.
If you're not watching on the video stream, you're missing an entertaining episode of Pat tries to dress himself.
And fails.
Yes, and fails.
Hey, my mom wasn't here this morning. I had to do it myself.
You leave Karen out of this.
She's a nice lady.
That's true. All right. Weather, sir? We going to talk about some weather?
I suppose.
Or did you wake up so late we didn't have time for
that? No, I did this. No, I did the things.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
You got it.
The weather is, it's going to be cooler today.
It's going to be weather.
You are looking for highs around, I don't know, like, call it 72, 73, something like that.
I'll take it.
Yes, it is very, you know, with the wind coming out of the north right now, very fall feeling, right?
Speaking for myself,
when I was driving in on a golf cart this morning, it was I was awake by the time I got here. Cloud cover will be making its way out today. Starting this morning, as you can see, it's fairly overcast right now, going from partly sunny to mostly sunny. So, but probably around air show time, I would expect to see a fair amount of sun peeking through, and the wind will be dying off a little bit as well, shifting to the east. So you won't be getting that brisk north air, but hey, I'll take it. It's actually fairly nice. Comparing this year to last year, right? This year, it's much cooler in comparison. I will happily take this over what we normally experience this time of year. So, but overall, like I said, cooler temperatures today. We are towards a warming trend. Warming trend will be about Saturday to Sunday, if you're still here, you'll be missing this weather. So take advantage of it while you can. You're expecting from today into about Sunday, we're going to be shifting towards the lower 90s, and the dew points and humidity will be back. But we got some time. You know, today is only Wednesday. Things could change. We could push that weather out a little bit further. But we are towards a warming trend. So all things related to that, sunnier skies. And I do not see any rain in the forecast.
Yeah.
I haven't seen too. And granted, you're not a meteorologist. I understand that. Weather enthusiast, as their disclaimer says. But I don't think I've seen too many meteorologists knock on wood as they give a forecast.
I mean,
they should.
Just enthusiasts.
They should. I don't. I mean, you know, disrespect whatsoever in your knowledge, and you went through quite a bit of schooling in that area before you changed focus and careers. But I think maybe more of them should do it. Is what I'm saying. I'm not dismissing you.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually the computer model is under the desk. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, right.
Come on, give me the right one. No whammy. Oh.
You know, it's funny because when Mitch Sego from NOAA came in and you guys were discussing, Mitch Sego and another meteorologist, you were discussing and you talked about, like, hey, I had struggles in that area. And they both immediately knew where you had struggles because apparently it's not
math
uncommon.
Math is hard, okay?
Yeah, math is real hard at that level. I mean, I was good at calc, but you were way past me, so.
You know, it's the weed out area.
Yeah.
It just happens.
It's a lot.
I mean, arguably, you're making a lot more money than you would have, so...
I chose IT.
Yeah, here we are.
You know, 2024. There's still weather out there.
There is.
But it's run by computers now.
Yeah, true, so...
And the AI.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't wait till
they do.
You know,
AI
really start making... Yeah, and I'm sure they're likely using machine learning in some of the models and modeling and whatnot, but...
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, fun fact, if you have a Google phone, if you look at the, you click on the weather icon.
As Jake goes to reach for his phone?
In the Google phones, if you ever see where it tells you a percent, you know, possible rain in the forecast in the future,
yeah.
Sometimes it does it, sometimes it doesn't, right? You click on the weather.
Sure.
And it says, like, you know, here's my expected rain potential in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That is done by AI.
Nice.
It's done by their Gemini program. And it's due to, it's actually reviewing images of radar and inputting it into the AI model. And then it spits it out to you in a percentage-based text format or, well, graphical format on your phone if there is any rain in the forecast in the future. So,
Jay, show me right now.
Is it in there right now?
Yeah.
And this is the day.
So that is one.
This is the day the weather AI became self-aware. Just mark this on your calendar. Yep.
And then there is one model that is an AI-based model that utilizes, it's essentially, I think they call it the combination, I'm sure if one of the meteorologists is listening to me, they're probably screaming into their phone or screaming into the radio right now. It's called this thing!
That's what every radio listener does, don't worry, it's fine.
There's essentially a call it a parent or a combination model where it takes all of the separate numerical weather models, it combines them into one, and it's an AI-based program that does that to try and sort of find the average, which is actually usually the most accurate. As long as you take all the models that, you know, there's about four or five of them, take them all, average them out, it's probably what the weather's going to do. It's not far off.
Nice.
It just depends on if someone's using it or not. So
reminds me of the sign that's up in the meteorology department at my university. It's like, become a meteorologist. We do it with models.
That's true.
Yes. So is their percentage the same concept as the, like you see in the forecast, where the percentage is the likelihood of rain in your, you know, if you're in the forecast area kind of thing? You know, that's
the same thing.
People misunderstand what the percent rain actually means.
It's true.
An awful lot, but it's using the same concept at least?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Because that would get confusing.
Interesting use of AI, that's for sure.
Well, and again, this is what we can use it for.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get the evil out, that would be cool.
Well, speaking of who's loitering in the other room, I was thinking maybe...
Speaking of evil, I see the looters in the house.
I was thinking maybe we could replace them with AI eventually. the likelihood of the AI becoming self-aware is probably going to happen long before the looters are. So there you go.
It's called an intelligence model, though. So I don't know if
there you go. Then I'm comparing apples to oranges. So
that or we insert it now before it gets too self-aware.
Yes, fair.
We'll keep it at 1.0, and the looters will be able to. You won't even know the difference.
I think we could do that.
I think so.
I think we could do that. Oh, that has me thinking. Production ideas, guys.
Yeah, well, I knew where your brain was going. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Like so, in summary, weather today, no rain, overcast starting, and then towards the, later in the today, the sun will be peeking out, and the rain is gone out of the area. So
sunshine and lollipops. And
looking at your AI, it's 42% chance on Monday. That's like the next significant.
As long as it's there, you know, after like 10 a.m., yeah. 9 a.m. even.
Yeah, if we could just get the tents packed,
I'll get up early and
that'd be awesome.
But if you're looking at Monday, you can probably see that the weather has it's warmer.
It is a marked change.
Yeah.
Well, sleep in while you can.
I've not turned on the AC in my RV at all. This whole trip.
No fan. I didn't even use the fans last night.
I've used the fans like twice in our tent.
I just used the fan for the stagnant air. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't a tent sticky thing.
No, not at all. It's great. I think we used it yesterday when we were trying to get my solar generator to cooperate. And it was just midday and a lot of sun, so I turned it on then. That's the most I think I've had the fan on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how.
So our 2:15, 2 o'clock, 2 to 2:15 weather weather or nots program.
Yes.
So, Pat, have you been checking that out?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you were here yesterday for it. I mean, right. Listening.
He loaders like a fanboy.
A little bit.
I'm usually peeking through the window like, oh my gosh, it's the real meteorologist.
Enthusiast, indeed.
They're the ones that train the models.
Based on Jim's previous joke, that just got creepy.
I mean, that's how it works.
Right.
No, I know.
What was the topic?
We missed it.
Yesterday?
Yeah. Because I missed yesterday.
He didn't pay much attention.
Got it.
I was just enthused. I was just watching.
He was just enthused and fanboying.
I couldn't even hear. All I heard was sunshine and lollipops.
Breathing on things.
In my head.
They discussed the differences between the National Weather Center and the more localized
regional offices. I do remember that now.
Right.
It's too early anymore, coffee. I do remember that now.
Good job.
Jay was paying attention.
Right.
Clearly.
When he doesn't actually have to, you can just watch.
Well, that's because he was probably in the video trailer watching and listening intently. Mm-hmm. Like a good producer.
We got to pay attention in the video booth. Not saying that the audio booth doesn't also have to pay attention.
Right.
Today we're going to talk about, or they're going to talk about specifically, Noacane. I'm going to make new words. Noacane.
Nice.
Noah Hurricane Hunters. So.
Ah. Do we have
the aircraft what they on give field you yet? When you go to the dentist? So.
I'm not sure if it's on field yet. When Jay and I were walking through the Fed Pavilion, there was a person suited up as a hurricane hunter.
Uh-huh.
So there's at least one here. I don't know if he flew the airplane in or not. But.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Pat St. John, our meteorologist. I'm using air quotes right now. Meteorologist, Pat St. John.
Weather enthusiast.
Meteorology stand-in. We got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Jay. Up next, Dick Dombinski. This is the Morning Preflight on EA Radio.
Hey, Jim, what do you want to do this morning?
The same thing we do every morning, Tommy. Talk and hope we're not heard.
It's here the very day. The cranky they complain. They try to entertain us, a hopeless campaign. Each day they're all the nice. And then we pay a price. Our daily dose of pain, 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 pain.
Good morning. It is 7:15. Well, it's actually 7:19, but you know, close enough.
Yeah.
It is time to chat with Dick Dombinski to talk about the happenings of the day and what we can look forward to on day three of AirVenture 2024.
Why is it always pain that leads into my segment?
take the hint, Dick. Just take the hint.
Okay. All right. You know, I don't have to sit here and take this. I can go anywhere and get that. You know. And it's
just... Oh, come on. You mean you're not like Hal Bryan, who just sits here and takes it because he likes it?
Yeah. Okay. I think he does. It's a plead for attention.
And fair.
So.
So we had half of an air show last night.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had to wash the airplanes, the midweek washing of the airplanes.
Yes.
That was, I don't know if you looked at the weather, like we're looking at the radar and go, well, there aren't many green dots. Why is it raining so hard?
Yeah.
And
it was intense for a while.
It was for about 20 minutes. It came down. But then, you know, the exhibit buildings were packed.
Yeah.
Which usually happens during a rainstorm. The exhibitors love it. So you got to have one or two, get them in here and mm-hmm. look at stuff. And they did mid-afternoon yesterday. But, you know, a lot of fun. The Italians were great fun.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in. And I think they were only supposed to do two flybys, but they got a little enthusiastic there and they kept going.
I think they did more than they were planning to, because if you notice, there was at least one or two jets on the, I think it was on the green level, that were running out of color.
Yeah.
As they were leaving.
Exactly. This is fun. We are in Oshkosh now. And we were talking yesterday, you know, the Italians really wanted to do a loop.
Yeah.
They said, you know, but the skies weren't going along. We didn't have the aerobatic box when they came in, so they couldn't. But we're saying they might just do a loop. You know, you got to be ready for it. And it was great having them in. And, you know, it's just one of those nice little surprises we can pull in every so often. And they were having a great time. They were over on Boeing Plaza just chatting up everybody yesterday. So,
and I didn't realize until I saw them that was a 10-ship team.
Yeah.
I had no idea that it was that large. And that's pretty rare to have a jet team of that size.
You just think of the coordination trying to put together that kind of formation.
It gets exponentially worse every time you add one.
That's right. Yeah, because you've got to make sure you got to know where that guy is.
Right.
And he's got to know where you are. So that was nice. Big news last night. Officially, Jimmy Graham was announced as moved into the chairman's role of Young Eagles.
Right.
And really happy to have him here. He and Sean have been working over the last year or so about the transition.
Yeah.
And
and he's been involved with Young Eagles for quite some time, like 5-6 years or something.
Yeah, he has been. He's been flying kids, and then I think it was 2021, officially made a co-chair of the program and is taking over the leadership role now. So it's great to have him. You know, and just reaches out to a different community because of his NFL background. you get the sports fans, and he's well known, been an all-pro player, Pro Bowl player. For a number of teams, so that instant name recognition that goes with that, and just his background. You know, he had a very challenging childhood and discovered first football and basketball and then aviation as a passion. And when he leaps into something, he's full tilt.
Sure.
And, so we're very, very happy to have him. Tomorrow night at the gathering, we're going to be saluting Sean Tucker and what he's done for a decade. Because, boy, Sean would go to an air show and he'd find Young Eagles and he'd have the media there and talk about the program. And you know, Sean, again, another person who never does anything halfway.
Right.
And so he is there doing it. So very, you know, thank you, Sean, for all those years. And he's going to continue to fly kids and be part of the program. But Jimmy's going to have the chairmanship role now.
Very good. You know, I'm trying to recall what aircraft he uses when he flies the Young Eagles.
A lot of them, he's got his de Havilland up here now, the DHC.
Uh-huh.
And so he's got that. You know, he's got an aerobatic airplane and that can use. And, you know, Jimmy at 6'7".
Because he's not going to fit in that 152.
I was looking at the cover. He's not a short man.
Yeah. No.
He kind of dwarfs Sean D. Tucker.
And, but, you know, so a little bit later today, he's going to be meeting with some of our Ray scholars and talking with them. And, you know, another program that is really, thanks to the Ray Foundation.
I see we have the 777 coming in on the green dot cam again.
Oh, yeah. He had just a few waves of turbulence here coming in as you come through.
So that's great news.
Yeah. Women Venture today.
Yep.
We've got that going on.
As
so the big
Wednesdays.
Photo. So any women in aviation?
I think using the B-52 for the background?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I assume that the commercial aircrafts that usually come here and do things are probably just not because of the issues?
Well, yeah. Some of the airlines were going to send them up, and, they've got a few people they have to go pick up.
And so they're out using their airplanes to pick up people right now. Right.
Understandable.
Completely understandable.
Yeah. Because if, you know, you're sitting in Sacramento waiting for your flight for the last couple of days, mm-hmm. and they're going, why is one of your airplanes parked in Oshkosh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That, you know, that's usually not goodwill that's sparked from that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But between the air shows today, we've got one of the C-47s out there. They're going to be mm-hmm. painting invasion stripes on it.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yep. Starting probably about 5:30. They've uh-huh. got the reenactors coming up.
Gotcha.
The Dakota Air Museum is going to be doing that.
And we have the mops like they did?
Yes, nice. They are. The mops and buckets and everything else.
That's cool.
And we have the historian from the Air Force Museum who's going to be there narrating uh-huh. what goes on and what the history is of it. So,
right. And that's 5:30, you said?
Yeah, about 5:30. Between okay. the two air shows, we're
sure.
really going to, you know, they'll get out there with the buckets and mops about 5:30 and, you know,
that's
commence.
So cool.
They figure it's going to take about 90 minutes or so mm-hmm. to uh-huh. do the entire thing. So, yeah, you'll see it out there because two of the C-47s right now have the invasion stripes. There's mm-hmm. one that does not.
Right.
That's going to be the victim right there. So,
very cool.
Yep. And then tonight for the night air show, we've got a drone show.
Which we got a preview of last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was totally not expecting that.
No.
Yeah. Well, they got to practice. You know,
it's
like formation flying.
Well, and okay, I don't know how long they're planning on doing that for the night show, but like their practice stuff last night went for like a half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
They were like doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and it really shows how far those have come in about 5 or 6 years.
Oh, yeah.
You remember, we had one
yes.
2018, 2019. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a drone.
It was cool. But
it was nice, and drone drifted. Why is that drifting mm-hmm. awful?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
there are a lot more coordination, a lot more precise, and a lot more drones.
I was embedded with that team out on
the, I remember
out
that.
There, yeah. watching that run.
Yeah, and so, they did, part of the big one they did, they're based in Michigan, so they okay. did a lot in downtown Detroit last year or earlier this year when the Lions went to the NFC Championship mm-hmm. game.
Of course.
And they made the Lion logo in the sky.
That's pretty
and
impressive.
I go, well, that's not easy. And, yeah. Really looking forward to that, and they'll embed the fireworks with it. So
nice.
It's
cool.
So, yeah, hang out for the night air show tonight. You're gonna, and, of course, night air show, we hope that we're able to do this, both B-29s and the Lancaster, to kick off the show tonight.
Nice.
Yeah. Only at Oshkosh.
Cool.
We're trying to figure out when's the last time those airplanes were together the air.
Yeah.
I mean, any Lancaster, any B-29s.
I believe mm-hmm. that there's only two flying Lancasters, right?
There's only one in North America.
Yeah, well, one that's based in Canada and then one in England.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you figure that's always in Canada,
yeah.
and you've got two B-29s on different tours throughout the country. Mm-hmm. They've only been together four times.
Right.
70 years?
Yeah, probably.
Wow. I mean, you know,
yeah.
so we're hoping everything works well, airplanes, weather, all of those things to kick off the night.
I love the sound
correctly.
Of Lancaster. Sounds like four P-51s in formation.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's what the engines
very
are.
Very close formation.
So cool.
Yeah. so that is, Women Venture, Nicole Batches is the speaker at the Power Lunch today. She's also leading the forum at Theater in the Woods tonight, which starts early, 6:30. So we're done by the night air show. Nicole, interesting story. Started the company when she was 27 years old, Rainbow Helicopters, one of the touring companies with helicopters out mm-hmm. in Hawaii.
Okay.
Now, it was 8 helicopters, dozens of employees, and really has built a marvelous business. And a great example, because fewer than 5% of all helicopter pilots in the nation are women. And that's a number that can get much, much better.
Yeah.
And so we want to show that is part of it as well. So, and I think Miss America is going to be on the grounds today.
I did hear that from some other mildly nefarious sources that
of the many mildly nefarious sources we have here. And
it may say something about the people in which I travel, but still. So that's do we know, is this an official stop tour?
It is.
Okay.
You know, it's which is interesting because you have two large organizations, because she is active Air Force.
Uh-huh.
And Medicine Marsh is her name. She's active Air Force Lieutenant. And so you've got the Air Force and you've got the Miss America organization. Now, either one of those schedules is daunting in itself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They'll try to merge them. And her handlers do a great job of, you know, just trying to, it's got to be, you know, it's Thursday. What city am I in right now?
Yeah.
one of those type of things. So, but we're very happy to have her. She's very enthusiastic about being at Oshkosh and as an Air Force Academy grad.
Scheduled official functions?
Yep. There'll be some, certainly she'll be part of Women Venture today.
Okay.
And So she'll be throughout the grounds appearing and so forth. So it's a brief trip, about a day and a half, but very happy to have her here.
Very nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Dick. Once again, we now know some things to look forward to here for day three on Air Venture.
Yep. Can I be considered one of your nefarious sources?
depending on what you're telling me. Yeah. If it's a nefarious data, it's definitely a nefarious source.
I'll try to get more nefariosity. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Work on that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dick.
Thank you, Dick. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
It's annual radio professionals Jim and Tommy with the Morning Pre-Flight.
I had to mute my mic because I was going to swear.
Right here on EAA Radio.
I think they intentionally put this music in all of our bumpers now.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I like it. I like it. Too funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. It appears that our mystery cart has returned.
Yes.
Because it's not back at the station.
Now that you've low-jacked them all. So.
Hey, whatever it takes.
True story. We have a habit of losing cart keys around here or wandering off with them. So Jim has so graciously air-tagged the whole fleet. Fleet
I
seems
have one air-tag
happy. We have three.
Like so. You don't understand. I think I have
I noticed
12
that.
Things tagged.
Oh, yeah.
I think because I had at least three four-packs. Of the air tags that I started hitting everything with. Oh, well. So, as I'm like to do in this segment, look at some interesting things that are happening in and around. So, something I totally wanted to talk to Pat about, but of course, we got derailed with actual weather information.
Yes.
There is...
How dare we?
There's a form coming up this morning at 8:30 that I think is... a cool topic, but it's weather related. It's how to coexist with weather.
is there another option?
maybe. From flight, Jeff Arnold from Flight Sweet. Service is going to be talking Forum Stage 8. review of accidents that are due to weather, self-briefing practices and processes. So if you're having to, if you don't get a weather brief, how do you do the equivalent yourself?
I'm literally just imagining like a marriage counseling session. You and the weather.
Well, sometimes,
So why don't you tell us how that makes you feel, weather?
It's very oppositional sometimes.
When Jim complains about you.
you embrace it when it's nice, but you want to fight when it's not. So sure. Helpful information for pilots that are using flight service. So that I think is good. There is the constant thing that happens every year here many times over. And I say this because it's a good necessary topic. Leaning your engine. Can you run on the lean side of peak? People,
gotcha.
Fuel is expensive, so they want to try and run things a little bit leaner. And then what's the... potentials and, mm-hmm. and damaging things.
Where's the balance between efficiency and fuel savings? Sure.
One maybe for me here, rusty pilots. That's come out at 8:30. I am back in the air now these days. So
good for you. Yeah. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
I'd been a while, so that's awesome.
I've been without medical for a bit.
Yeah.
So
you're back to it. That's fantastic. I'm excited for you. Have you been out yet, or you got now? You got to okay, cool.
Yeah,
I was going to ask her now. Does the plane need work? Because it's
I tell you what, that plane had the most thorough annual that it has had. I mean, if it could come off and taken apart, it was.
I suppose because it had been a while since you'd flown it, so probably good.
Luckily, good idea. I had pickled the engine before I parked it, so it was. I put the borescope. In the spark, take the spark plugs out and you put the borescope in there. And I had a hard time taking a look at the inside, the condition of the inside of the cylinder because it was so shiny that the light was reflecting and blowing out my borescope camera. So, it also helped that I had the cylinders chromed, their channel chromed. So, everything was cool. Mm. I can now fly and so can the airplane. So it turns out. The focus on mental health, there's several different things going on with that as well. And our own Frigio is in one of the forums. I can't remember which one it was. I was trying to find it because there's like several different things. Some of it is at the Pilot Proficiency Center. This, you know, there's another one at 9 o'clock today at the NAFI booth. It's good to see that we've got those kind of topics being covered.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bunch of those kind of things. And the focus on mental health and making sure that everybody's good to go and safe, you know, it's perfectly good time to consider what, you know, that factor. Sure. You talk about, you know, these factors of incidences and things like that. I think that's been overlooked as well. If you need a cookie, you can go to Embry-Riddle at 10 o'clock. Cookies with the colleges.
Nice. That's my brother's alma mater.
I won't hold it against him. It's all right.
What's funny is my brother does not work in aviation whatsoever. And technically never did.
They do some pretty good like engineering stuff there, too.
They have a very, very strong computer science program, which is what my brother went into. And ultimately did work for Lockheed right out of college, but not in the aviation side. He worked on the Q-70 program, which is the workstations that exist on naval vessels. So, you want to? I love my brother, but even he'll tell you this. You want to talk about dull jobs? My brother's entire job while he was at Lockheed for a few years was writing, a portion of a diagnostic routine for the video cards on Q-70 workstations, which are on board naval vessels. So that's it. Diagnostics for a video card, but a portion of the diagnostics for the video card.
That's a very small piece of an important thing.
Yes, absolutely. It's just very specific, very narrow, and very, you know,
right.
Homer Simpson, push this one button, that's your only job type thing. Very repetitive. So
right.
But it took a lot. So
I totally need to find out about what Thunder Mouse is. I see it popping up on the schedule constantly. What is Thunder Mouse? Let's see here.
Jim, we're being asked to weigh in on one topic. I don't know that we can briefly explain it.
Oh, yeah. You can't briefly explain
Mosaic.
And,
there's a lot to that. I would encourage you to read about it.
And I mean, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. It's an expansion.
For you. Let's put that disclaimer out there.
Yeah, thank you. This may or may not be just my opinion. it's Lightsport 2.0. It's expansion of what Lightsport pilots can do. Mm-hmm. When Lightsport first came out, they looked at the aircraft that they were trying to qualify it for, and one that kind of fell into my world, because I have a Cessna 140, well, the Cessna 140 and the Luscombs fit the definition of what Lightsport should have been, but it was specifically notched out that these kind of aircraft couldn't be included in Lightsport.
What was the thinking there?
I don't really know. I think it was, you know, you had the ultralight pilots,
yep,
and then they're like, okay, we need something that goes between ultralight and private pilot.
Sure.
And they put that in there, and they're like, yeah, but if you're flying a certificated aircraft that has been around for this long, and it flies so much like aircraft that are above it, then it's not going to be in Lightsport. Yeah, that's my kind of opinion. They drew a line and had a notch out around some of these things that were more similar to the things above them than they were the things below them. Now, the new Mosaic rule or notice of proposed rulemaking, federal term, that's out there to expand this is really to say that Lightsport pilots can now get up into other larger aircraft. Now, it still comes with some of the restrictions and things like that. You know, you don't need to have a third class medical as long as you've got a driver's license and things, you know, a vehicle driver's license.
Sure.
So, I mean, it opens up the ability to do a lot of things. And it does go up to things like Cessna 172s and such. But again, still with some of the other restrictions. But it's an expansion of it. And it's going to happen. And again, as I mentioned previously, I'm more open to the idea of what it is, especially now that mm-hmm. I'm getting into a spot where sometimes medicals are a little bit more questionable to be able to get your hands on these days. As I mentioned, I'm just now getting back
into that. Captain's lots of men, Jim.
Yeah. Thanks.
And women, but yeah. No, I mean, it's the reality of life, though. Like, as you get older, you're going to have some medical problems anyway.
That's just one angle, is that you don't have to have a third class medical for it. But
it's an important aspect, so.
And it also makes a easier and clearer path of people that want to get into aviation. You don't have to go all the way through to private pilot.
Less expensive as well.
If the type of flying that you're trying to do is just pleasure flights in your small aircraft, you're not planning on doing any IFR work, or you're not doing a ton of cross country flying through, Class B airspace or something like that. Then having a level that's lower that accommodates for that, I can see it has its place.
Yes.
And now with the expansion, you can do it in an aircraft that is not just a small light sport, but is getting into the traditional small single engine type aircraft. So. The definitions are not by aircraft type. It's by things like weight, power, stall speed, maximum speed, stall speed, and a bunch of other things there. And that's some of the stuff that they haven't figured out yet. I can't remember if it's approach speed or stall speed. That is one of the numbers that they're arguing about.
Okay.
As to where to draw the line.
Sure.
It's cool. EAA has been huge in the advocacy for this, and for good reason. You know, they're really representing these pilots that want to get into it or want to be able to continue into it. So, I mean, it's a good thing.
Absolutely. We got one quick question. So, Piper Cubs, what is it? So,
I think Cubs were the ones that were notched out
LSA.
The ones that were specifically notched out of the LSA stuff.
Yes.
Was the Luscombe and the 120/140.
Okay.
But in general, yeah.
And one quick note: Member Center is doing briefings every morning on Mosaic. So if you're on the grounds, check the schedule. You can go check it out. Up next, the Hal Bryan Show. This is the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
Turn a good morning into a great day with the Morning Preflight Show.
Do not be alarmed. Do not adjust your radio dial. I control the frequency. The morning pre-flight is a thing of the past, and Hot Start needs a lead-in worthy of their substantial on-air talents. Welcome to the new and improved Morning Pre-Flight Show with your host, me, high-flying Hal Bryan. Produced by my less-than-stellar interns, Tim and Jami. The morning pre-flight begins now.
So, identity theft is not a joke, Jim. So, was that AI or just somebody who has me really, really down?
Yes.
Yes.
How about that?
That was weird. I mean, I recognized myself immediately, yet I... Now, granted, this is AirVenture Week.
Yes.
You might have had me in here 10 minutes ago and given me that script and said, read it, and I have already forgotten.
That's fair.
But I'm prepared to testify in court that there's like a 40% chance that I have never heard those words nor said them before.
So
what is happening?
We approached your agent first, i.e. your wife, and I said, do you think Hal would mind if I fed his voice into an AI? And she said, I think he'd be offended if you didn't.
So. That's a very fair response. And once again, I know she's listening.
And here we are.
Thanks, honey.
So yes, we may have created a Hal. I mean, you obviously snuck in and recorded, but we may have created a Hal AI voice.
Is this AI available for download or purchase?
I mean, we can talk. We can talk.
Well, you'll be first against the wall when the revolution comes, of course. But anyway, well, while I'm busy reeling from that, I would like to announce, and this is the real Hal. If you're watching on camera, hi, flesh and blood.
I mean, can we tell, really?
No.
Maybe you're just computer generated.
No. I am, well, yeah, I'm vaguely inferior. Maybe not vaguely. But I did find a coworker.
Nice.
And I found a new coworker, which is why he agreed to do this. And I don't think he'll mind me saying so, but he's got a great 80s ABC drama name. So, glad to welcome our new email, relatively new email marketing specialist, Blake Barrington. Isn't that great? Don't you just love that?
That is fantastic and sounds fake.
I do that a lot. Like, a lot of the times, okay. I'll go to Subway and I hand them my card, right? And like, are you like an actor? Blake Barrington
II. You picked that name, right? Like, that's not how it started?
So, really, after the show started, you're telling him he sounds fake?
No, you know. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. That was completely real at the top of the hour.
Oh, my microphone is dripping with irony.
Is that what that is?
Ew.
Okay.
Ew.
And so, bacon grease.
So, yes. Blake.
Yep.
Yes.
I literally just want to call you Blake Barrington now and
go right ahead.
Ask you what's happening on the next episode of You'll Appreciate This Help, Dallas or Dynasty or
Dynasty,
something.
Dynasty, exactly. Well, very quick. We did have we had a guy in our advocacy group several years ago, and he was a 40s private eye. His name was Mac Dixon.
Oh, that's
it was just absolutely perfect,
more, so.
You know. But anyway.
I used to work with a coworker who desperately wanted to name his first child, who was a son, Max Powers, which... You're a Simpsons fan, you'll get that reference.
Perfect.
So, yes. So, Blake, what do you do, let's say, the rest of the year versus what are you doing this week?
Usually working with, like, the various internal clients, you know, chapters, AeroEducate, et cetera, and just doing all their email and sending them out to the members here at EAA. So, basically the same thing I'm doing now, except for instead of sending out Hal's baby AV today, I'm sending out everybody else's babies.
You make a good point that has come up several times in a lot of the aviation / EAA / Air Venture groups that I'm in social media, of chapters trying to do things like how can I market this out, or how is this chapter successful and this chapter isn't. So as a lot of the marketing function, this might be a little bit beyond what you're talking about, but a lot of the marketing function that happens at EAA, is that kind of available for either direct or consulting help for the chapters?
I would say kind of, yeah. You can reach out to the internal chapters department at EAA, and then they'll come up with like a way to get your chapter out there. We can like target your local area if people have expressed interest in AirVenture or EAA in general, and then we can just sort of send out a message that targets all of them saying, hey, come to this location, sign up for your local chapter, that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, because there's you see a lot of this thing, you know, we have a pancake breakfast over here and we get, you know, 10 people, and you have a pancake breakfast 20 miles over there and you get 200 people. What did you do? How did you do that? You know,
there's a lot of stuff that EA can do to like help you grow from an outside perspective, but a lot of it's also internal, internal. You got to like, we can help you market, but you have to market yourself too.
Sure. Yeah. You mean you're not going to do it all for me?
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
Come on.
I mean, for you specifically, no. But for a lot of people, sure.
Yes. Yeah, that there's a lot of chapter politics that I won't go into. It's like, you know, a lot of them are like really want to market themselves out, and a lot of them are like not so much. they want to have their club. Fine. So during this week, though, so beyond marketing the Hal's baby, as you described it, which is accurate, what else are we putting out there?
A lot of the times, like communicating things like Women Venture, making sure people know that there's the T-shirt pickup, ice cream, which I think might be today.
Yes, and then, today is Women Venture Day. Yep. Yes.
And then also like the Runway 5K was out. I do a lot of work there for advertising that. And then recently is just putting out fires, making sure that things like blowing up on us.
I mean, you do work with Hal, so I mean,
he actually doesn't cause that much fires. Mm. It's mostly Heidi that causes the fires.
Well, that's on record.
I hope you enjoyed your time with the EA.
Yes. And Heidi, I just want to make it clear that he said it, not me.
Yes.
Right. So you were thinking.
Your extra digital view will be at one. So.
Hi, you want it on record? This is an AI, Blake.
Nice pivot.
This is Blake.Barrington / 2.0.
Very good. So what are some of the more interesting and fun things that you've like found or like, oh, hey, this is cool, we need to tell people about this?
I would say a lot of the stuff that like So we obviously get a lot of member stories coming in. A lot of the emails we send out are like newsletters or magazines, and there's a lot of member stories involved in them. And a lot of the stuff you don't really think that they exist. Like I hear, get a lot of like the Canadian stuff from like bits and pieces, and a lot of the stuff like I didn't know they were doing that, or seeing people go up on like these old vintage planes in other countries, and it's like, oh yeah, I forget that Canada actually has airplanes too.
Wow. No, there's the quote of the morning.
Yeah, there you go. Put it on the whiteboard.
I'd like to personally apologize on behalf of EA Radio to America's Hat, Canada. Blake's comments don't necessarily reflect our own opinions.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like there's a much larger Canadian presence this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was, we're celebrating, of course, the 100th anniversary of the Royal Canadian Air Force. We've got a lot of different assets coming in. We have the snowbirds are coming. Yeah, we have that beautiful Avro Lancaster here. Yeah. There's a lot of great Canadian warbirds scattered on that victory flight with the Spitfire, Mustang, and Hurricane. There are, this is near and dear to me personally. Right now, there are two Canadian Tiger Moths on the field. And if my purchase had accelerated just a little bit, there would have been three this year. But I'm probably not getting getting ours until the fall. But it's cool to see that stuff out there, though. It's fun.
So what are you looking forward to now for the rest of the week?
I want to see the snowbirds, obviously. We've been talking about that a lot lately, especially a lot of internal emails. I want to see that. And the night show. I've heard it's going to be really good this year, and I wanted to see them. And then the drones. I really want to see the drones.
Did you catch the preview of the drones last night?
I did not.
That was an unexpected little gem. We're sitting around the campfire, and they're like, why is the sky twinkling over there? Just kind of, and we're in Paul's Woods, so it's like through the trees. We're like, there's something going on over there. And we walk out, and there they were testing out everything. For a lot, I think that the show last night, I'm going to predict this, the show last night, without the coordination of like the rest of the fireworks and the rest of the show, whatever, I think there was more going on during their testing last night than we're going to get in the show tonight, because it went on for like a half hour.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They were trying this and then trying that, and then you could see they're changing transition. Okay, so we went from the bird flapping its wings to the Liberty Bell ringing, and okay, now let's
spoilers.
This other thing to the
spoilers.
Now, Jim, let me ask you this: after you saw this, did you go and sculpt Devil's Tower out of mashed potatoes or garbage?
I
made
that
alley
joke this morning. Like I do appreciate that.
Well, and then consider this a hipster callback, because of course I listen to every minute of EA Radio this week and understand all these inside circular references.
Yes. It's an anniversary of that film this year, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's right. But we saw it on the big screen a month ago.
Yeah.
One of the Fathom Events things. That was really fun.
Speaking of the big screen, you have borne the brunt of the blame for Firebirds tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been blaming you because you immediately defended it. I have no idea if you selected the film, but
I selected it, mister.
Oh, so you are the
I did. Yes, I am.
9% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics. 9.
So
But in its defense, it did get almost 20 from viewers.
Almost 20.
Almost 20. Okay.
I was going to say, if the viewer rating is really high, but 20.
No.
Yeah. And I want to be clear, that was not 20%. It was just they got almost 20 viewers that actually saw it.
Yeah, I didn't finish. Again, I walked out of the theater. First film I ever did that to.
It is no Citizen Kane, to be quite clear. But
when
my standards for aviation movies are very simple.
It just doesn't have
not unlike
aviation.
Myself. Is there cool flying in it? Mm-hmm. Now, does the plot of Firebirds make any sense? It really doesn't.
What plot?
is Nicolas Cage awake for the filming?
I don't think so. No.
But there's a whole bunch of cool helicopter stuff. Mm-hmm. And
that's fair.
Tonight, it's a night air show night. It's always light at the fly-in theater. Right. So we'll just put something fun for anybody who's up there who wants to watch it. And I think we're sort of making up for that with Saturday's screening, which is also in attendance.
That's Blue Angels, right?
No, Saturday is the right stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So that's our other sort of unhosted night against the night air show.
Yeah.
Friday's Blue Angels documentary is jaw-dropping.
Yes.
It did come out in IMAX about 2 months ago, and it's had a run on Amazon Prime. We've worked directly with Amazon and MGM to get the rights to show it, but if you have not seen it, it's going to be amazing.
Yes.
That's great. Very quickly, Blake, I'd like to present you with your official I Was on EA Radio with Hal sticker.
Thank you. I could put it right next to my I Work with Hal sticker.
There you go.
There you go.
Blake, thank you. Hal, thank you as well. one thing I'd like to say, make sure you go see, you know, the Fast and Furious of aviation films tonight at Fly-In Theater. This has been the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.